We are in the midst of a series of messages on prayer entitled Draw the Circle, because we're taking our concerns and circling them with God's promise, or perhaps with the truth of God's word, and saying this: as I pray about the things that are concerning me in life, I am going to pray in light of God's promises, in light of who he is. So simply today, the sermon in the sentence from 1 Peter would be, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. So you can put your concern, your care, your worry on a piece of paper and circle it with the fact that God cares for you. And he's bigger than any concern or care or worry or situation that you could ever find yourself in. He is bigger. And that we're going to learn that today as we look at God's word. Today, the theme for prayer and drawing the circle is to recycle our worries. Recycle our worries. Recycling is a big deal in the time in which we live. It's a matter of priority, a matter of urgency in some respects. And before we get to that in particular, we want to listen to God's word from Philippians chapter 4, what God has to say about our worry and what we should do with it. So Philippians chapter 4, hear the word of the Lord beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Our message today is going to focus in on two verses in this paragraph at the close of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. It's verses 6 and 7. Where you have the command, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. For the sake of our message today, I've put that in the form of an imperative and in a set declarative sentence. The imperative, the command is recycle your worry! Exclamation point. That's the command. That's the imperative. That's the mandate. And the declarative sentence, you can enjoy God's peace by means of prayer. That's the message of Paul's text. Let's begin with the command. Recycle your worry. Recycling provides for us a very useful metaphor, and it's mentioned briefly in today's reading in the devotional Draw a Circle, the 40-Day Prayer Challenge, where he calls us, Mark Batterson calls us to recycle our worries. But that's not the main point of his reading for today, but it struck me between the eyes. Not because I'm a worrier, oh, far be it from that. I'm a forever optimist. But I know a few worriers. And so I'm going to share this message with them. And you know who you are. No. It's like it's human nature. We'll come to that in a second. But recycling is such a good metaphor for this problem, because in our current culture, in our 21st century, the problem with plastic and the need to recycle is enormous. In 2018, the National Geographic Society did a study and reported that since 1950, we have 9.2 billion tons of plastic produced. And that of that 9.2 billion tons of plastic produced, a staggering 6.3 billion tons never made it to a recycling bin. And no one knows how much unrecycled plastic ends up in the ocean. But in 2015, Jenna Jambeck, a University of Georgia engineering professor, caught everyone's attention with this rough estimate. She estimates that between 5.3 million and 14 million tons each year is just found on the coastal regions. And she says that most of that was not discarded in the ocean, but was discarded on land or along rivers, and it either blew or washed into the sea. And she goes on to say it's unclear how long it will take for plastic to completely biodegrade into its constituent molecules, but the estimate is somewhere between 450 years and never. That's really precise, isn't it? I've heard someone say to me, never before. 450 years to me seems like never. I won't be here. But recycling plastic can result in useful products, such as this coastal boardwalk. All the materials made from recycled plastic. So recycle. But the problem that plastics is to our environment, so it is that the problem of anxiety in our society is to our emotional well-being. To quote Jules Pfeiffer, I told the doctor I was overtired, anxiety-ridden, compulsively active, constantly depressed, and with recurring fits of paranoia, and it turns out I'm normal. That's why I say it's pervasive. Psychology Today reports that 49% of the general population has a history of anxiety. Wow. Anxiety disorders have affected our health. People with panic disorders are more likely to have mitral valve prolapse, hypertension, peptic ulcers, diabetes, angina, thyroid disease. Men who have anxiety disorder are at greater risk for cardiac disorder, hypertension, gastrointestinal disorders, respiratory illness, asthma, and back pain. Women with anxiety disorders are more likely to have a history of cardiac problems, hypertension, metabolic disorder, gastrointestinal disorder, dermatological disorder, respiratory disorders, and arthritis. And the bad news, that's the good news, the bad news is that anxiety is increasing in our culture. Those who study patients with anxiety say this: the average high school child today has the same level of anxiety that a psychiatric patient had in the 1950s. Interesting. I wonder if there's a correlation. It was in the 1950s that plastics began to be produced. So, I don't know. Someone should do a study. The Apostle Paul recognized the problem of anxiety in the life of the believer in the first century. And he said, as a word of command, don't be anxious about anything. Don't drown in anxiety. Recycle it. It's time to recycle our worry. Let's look at Philippians 4:6, just the command. Do not be anxious about anything. It could be literally translated, stop. And that's why I like Kenneth Weiss' translation of Philippians 4:6, because he gives you the sense of stop. In other words, the command assumes that we are worrying. We are filled with anxiety about things. And the command is to stop worrying about anything, or stop worrying about even one thing, Kenneth Weiss translated. The word there for worry or anxiety or concern has a range of meaning that could be as simple as having care for someone or something. Kind of like a parent cares for their child, or a dog lover cares for their dog. I don't know that cats need care. Well, you need to empty the litter box. But the other side of the issue is that that same word can mean extreme anxiety, such that we are paralyzed by it. Same word can be general care or concern for somebody all the way to the extreme. So when I say to someone, you need to stop worrying. They say, I just have general concern. Then don't be paralyzed by it. The word comes out in a Greek play, and it's Agamemnon is the play. And in it, the watchman is on the rooftop of the palace of Agamemnon at Argos. And the watchman is waiting for news from the battle for Troy. And the watchman in the play says these things. And catch how he casts a picture of anxiety. Because I'm watching for the signal flame, for the gleaming fire that would bring news from Troy and tidings of its capture. But meanwhile, whenever I make my bed here instead of sleep, fear stands ever by my side. So that my tears start forth and I bewail the fortunes of this house and of ours, not ordered for the best as in the days gone by. In anxious fear, I wait to hear something shrouded in gloom. I wait to hear something shrouded in gloom. And so the person can't eat, they can't sleep, they're restless, they're weeping, assuming the worst from the battle for Troy. To that, the Apostle Paul says, stop worrying. Do not be anxious about anything but. So we need to recycle our worry. It's a tremendous problem in our lives. And we recycle our worry so that we can enjoy God's peace. So that we can enjoy God's peace. Notice the goal of this passage. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. Because the goal is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. A peace that's not like any peace that we can experience in this world. A peace which transcends all of our human understanding. literally, which rises above. That's the sense of transcend. A peace that rises above our human ability to comprehend it. Paul is simply saying there is nothing humanly comparable to the peace that God gives. So we want to recycle our worry. This, why do we live with this waiting for a cloud of gloom to stay over us when God says, in the midst of any circumstance, you can enjoy my peace, which rises above any human understanding. There's nothing comparable to it. It reminds me of Isaiah 55 in verses 8 and 9, where Isaiah writes the words of God to us. And God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's no meditation technique. There's no controlled breathing exercise. There's no pharmaceutical. There's no drug or drink that's comparable to God's peace, and that's an understatement. The gap in our understanding of God's peace and our problem is measured in light years, according to Isaiah 55, verse 9. The gap is measured in light years. From my place on earth to the edge of the universe. Well, how far is that? Well, a light year is the distance that light travels in a year. And that's 6 trillion miles. It's taken me 10 years to put 250,000 miles on my Prius. I'm not going to get to a light year's worth of traveling. 6 trillion miles. And the edge of the visible universe, the edge of the visible universe is 46.5 billion light years away. And so that's the gap between my understanding of my problem and God's peace that he would give me. There is nothing humanly comparable to the peace that God gives. It rises above human understanding. It's incomprehensible. But it is real. And the Apostle Paul is telling us it's available. It's real and it is available. And it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The work that God's peace does in our life is that it guards. The verb there is a military term used to describe soldiers keeping watch over a city to maintain peace or to protect it against attack. The Apostle Paul is writing to the city of Philippi, and it was a city that was protected by a Roman garrison. And so he's using a term that the Philippians would readily comprehend because they lived in a city that was filled with protectors from Rome. They had orders from Rome to guard the city. And so people could go to bed at night and not worry about their city, their home, because it was guarded by a Roman garrison of soldiers. And the peace of God, the Apostle Paul says, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Simply put, Paul is saying, The result of our prayers is God's peace standing guard to keep our hearts and minds safe from the attacks of worry and anxiety. If we go back to last week's message from Galatians chapter 6, we reap what we sow. If we sow anxious thoughts, we reap anxiety, worry, fear, doubt, despair. If we sow worry, we reap sleepless nights, high blood pressure, digestive disorders, depression, emotional paralysis. And the wonder of this text is that the Apostle Paul is telling us, take advantage of your anxious moments. Use them, seize them as an opportunity for prayer so that you can reap God's peace. That's what we mean by recycling your worry. He says, as a word of command, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, present your request to God. See, you can recycle your worry. You can enjoy God's peace by means of prayer. He uses what we call in language an instrumental dative here when he says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Instrumental, as in the band, datives. They answer the question, how? And so we can translate it, by means of. How are we going to enjoy God's peace? By means of prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. The main clause, though, in the sentence skips the dative clauses in the middle and is, but in everything, then the main verb, let your requests for things asked be made known in the presence of God. But in every situation, present your requests to God. That's the main verb, present your requests to God. So we have this command, present your requests to God. And the word present is a unique one. In terms of how it's translated, it most often is translated to know or to know about, to have knowledge of. It's gnosko. And what is commanded here is that we, and so Wiese puts it forward, make known, because it's a passive verb, make known your requests in the presence of God. Make known. Now, there's a bit of irony here because we're commanded to go into the very presence of God and make known to Him our need, our concern, but He already knows. And He welcomes this. It's kind of cool because any of you who are parents of toddlers or teenagers know that having a toddler or a teenager come in and make known to you what they need has implications. Because if you say to them, that's not what you need, it's what you want, then you're going to be in for an argument. You don't know. How could you know? You're not me. You're my parent, but you are clueless about my life. And God invites this. He says, come into my presence and make known your request to the one who knows your every need in every situation. In every situation. There's a threefold means of approach here. By prayer, by petition, and with thanksgiving. By prayer is the general word in the New Testament for prayer. It assumes that the speaker is addressing God. So to pray is to approach God in order to speak to him. That's in its general sense. And so I love the way Wiest translates this. Kenneth Wiest translated it, by prayer whose essence is that of worship and devotion. How do we approach God? We approach God with reverence. We approach God with humility. We approach God with confidence. Hebrews chapter 9 and 10 calls us to enter into God's presence with fullness of faith, confident that we will be heard because the way has been made available to us by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we are welcome there. And so when we pray, when we approach God, we enter into his presence at his invitation and by his provision through Jesus Christ, that we might have his ear by prayer. And Kenneth Wiest would say, whose essence is that of worship and devotion. But also by petition. And the word that's translated for petition has the idea of urgency. Could literally be translated to plead, to beg. That's something that toddlers and teenagers are good at. They plead and they beg. And they make their case. And if they don't win with you, they'll go to mom. If they don't win with mom, they'll go to you or dad. They plead their case. But in everything, Kenneth Wiest translates, petition is this cry, this request that is expressed from our hearts regarding our personal need. Prayer, approaching God with reverence, with confidence, an act of worship, with petition, coming with urgency to express our need, to make a request to God. And then thirdly, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Those three ways are the how to presenting our requests to God. With thanksgiving. And this is kind of like the counterintuitive one. We're in distress. We're worried. We're anxious. There's nothing to be thankful about. Right? Well, then, if we're going to know God's peace, we need to come to him in prayer with petition, with a sense of urgency, but also with thanksgiving to present our requests to him. Thanksgiving is to go with prayer. This is repeated many times in Scripture, and Paul does it again in Colossians 3, verse 17. And in Colossians 3, at verse 17, he says, whatever you do, word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father through God the Father through him. So when we pray, we do so with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God the Father in Christ Jesus. So we're going to have to give some thought to this about how we come to God in prayer, what request we're going to make, and how we're going to express thanksgiving. Truth is, we may not be able to recognize a reason for thanksgiving in our present circumstance. But as a child of God, we always have a remembrance of past favors, of the promises of God that have been fulfilled in our lives in the past. And so we remember those things. And we give thanks to him for what he has done, how he has shown himself faithful in our lives. We give thanks for what he has done. And we give thanks with the knowledge that he is at work in us, both to will and to do that which is good and pleasing in his sight. I love the way J.H. Riley puts it in his commentary on Philippians, translated into English, thankfully, for my benefit and yours. He says, and this is in 1841 on this verse, he says, the Christian, being as it were suspended between blessings received and blessings hoped for, should always give thanks and ask. Because remembrance and request are two necessary elements of every Christian prayer. Isn't that beautiful? I'll say it again. The Christian, being as it were suspended between blessings received and blessings hoped for, should always give thanks and always ask, because remembrance and request are the two necessary elements of every Christian prayer. And so we're going to take time to pray, to put a circle around our heart concern. You can ask yourself today, what is my heart concern? What is it that weighs upon my heart? And we want to take a moment to circle it by means of prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. So take a moment just to think about what is the concern of your heart. And then to help you put words to a prayer that expresses prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, so you can circle this heart concern, I've put together just a sample prayer. It's going to be projected. It's also in your notes with the study guide for the message. But you can pray through this, and there are some things that you need to name to make it personal. Your heart concern, what it is that you're anxious about, what it is that you're worried about. It may be that you need to have God act on your behalf or on behalf of another to reduce your anxiety. But then name your request, and then name the things that God has done for you already that you can look back on with thanksgiving and gratitude, with the confidence that he's not done. What he wants to do for you today is to give you his unimaginable, unsurpassed peace, which rises above human understanding. So that while you wait for the answer to your prayer, you can enjoy his peace. So we're going to take a few moments for prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the command and assurance of your word, that we can cast our cares on you because you care for us, and that your desire is that we might know your peace in the midst of our waiting, a peace that's beyond anything that we can grasp with our own minds. And we pray, dear Lord, and give thanks that you are the one who is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work in us, that Christ might be glorified in our lives and in the life of the church, in this hour, in this generation.